Hello, everybody, and welcome to our INE office hours call for the month of March 2021. I'm excited to have you here to be able to support you in whatever you need with your practice, with your content, with the clinical skills, with clients that you are working with, or even with your marketing or positioning. So these are kind of anything goes types of calls. So the way I usually like it is raise your hand if you have a question or comment or you want some support. You can do that by going into the participants link or the participants panel. And then there's a raise hands. And if I can't seem to figure that out or I can't see your hand, you can do this, but you have to be on, you have to raise your hand and wave to me. So you have to have your camera on to do that. So it looks like Barbara has a question, comment. And what I usually love to hear is when you first start, is just what's one win that you've had since last we talked, something that, you know, a success you had with a client, a new client that you have brought on, or something that is actually a win. Because I find that when we can focus on our wins, then we're better able to handle our challenges. So Barbara, go for it.
Yeah, my win is starting NEPT and, you know, just really getting a good momentum going. And I'm still struggling with getting switched over to the new system, to the level one. So I've stopped working until that happens.
So when you say you're still having trouble, when you log into inemember.com, you're not seeing
it? Yeah, correct. It's saying that the email or the password that I'm using is wrong and I'm just copy and pasting my original
one. Have you tried reset password, lost password, click that?
Yes, and I didn't get anything. So I wonder if there's a problem with the email
being delivered.
Yeah, I've heard from Summer. I had one email from her that said NEPT, everything you need to know. And she said, oh, you've been added to level one. And she mentioned the new lab site and that sort of thing. But I haven't had like a formal welcome to level one or anything like that that really tells me what to do. So there's something not connecting in the
something
system.
Something not right. Yeah. Yeah. And how long ago was that you heard from Summer?
I'd have to go back and see how it all links together. I think it was after you and I spoke by phone, but it was right around the same time. There's maybe a day or two difference one way or the other.
And have you reported back via help desk, via Christina or something?
Yeah, I've been in contact with Christina and I'm not exactly sure where we are in the process. I'm afraid maybe they think it's all settled. So I had a long link that I'd been corresponding with Christina on. So I sent a brand new email to help desk this morning to say that it's not resolved because I can't get on still.
You still can't get on. And so what it says is that your password isn't working?
Well, it just says something not right. So I don't know which one it is. It didn't recognize.
So it didn't recognize one or the other.
Yes.
And it's the same email that you used, that you've been using all along.
Right. And this email from Summer, she told me about Unstoppable Health. And I knew that was still going because I'd gotten on that already, you know, continually on that. So everything she sent me really wasn't new. You know, she said the calls and I have access to the calls through the old site. So I'm still getting all the emails from the inemembers.com, but I'm not getting
the ones from INE member. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll chat with them about that. So we'll make sure that that doesn't continue. Okay, Barbara. Okay, cool.
Thank you so much.
So you started out on the old site and then you were transferred once the new site came in and it seems like that's where you got lost or something got lost.
Something like that. I never actually started working on the old site, really. I took my first exam really recently, like in March.
So on the old site.
On the old site, and I'd gotten through to where I was ready to start the micronutrient module.
Okay, so you did the first four then.
Okay, and so I just want to be able to go back and take those exams and continue on the level one.
Yeah, and you'll have to moving over, you have to take the exams again, but it's good review. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, no problem. I just don't want to advance anymore, so I don't have to keep up with all that information, because I think you told me that shortly thereafter it starts changing.
Right. So exactly. So the first three of the same and then it goes and changes. So yeah. Okay. We'll make sure that that happens. I'm making a note of it.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Sure. No problem. All right. Anybody else? Do you have anything else? I think your celebration is that you're starting again. Yay.
Yeah, that is my celebration. Of course, I continue to work on my own health. And since January, I just had some real blood sugar increases when I had a UTI. Yep. And I took a 5-day course of antibiotics. So I'm recovering from that, you know, still resetting my gut and all that. I didn't know what else to do. So
that's did what you the try Uristatin by any stretch?
No, I don't know what that is.
The best herbal formula that I have ever found for urinary tract infections. And I've seen people who are actually on antibiotics have it completely clear up and go off the antibiotics as a result, or people who wanted to prevent it. And it's from Thorn, and it's a combination of buchu and what's the other stuff? Uva ursi and a couple of other things in there. And it works phenomenally. It's like my first line of defense. Lots of vitamin C, tons of vitamin C, bowel tolerance vitamin C, but then also this other. And you don't take them together. You take them at separate times a day because the Uva ursi likes the alkalinity and the vitamin C works on acidifying. Those two, like different times a day, massive doses of as much vitamin C as you can tolerate, you know?
Okay. Yeah. Can you put that information in the chat so I make sure I have the exact name of it from Thorn?
Uva ursi. It's in the module on urinary tract infections, but you're not there yet. I mean, on the urinary system, which is way later in the program.
Yeah, that's why I need to get going on my NEPT.
Yeah. Okay, so UVAURSI Thorn.
Okay. Is there a particular milligram or is there just one?
Whatever they say on the label, you follow their directions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, will do. And then vitamin C, a different time of the day, as much as I can take.
Yes. And if you've just recovered from this and you've been on the antibiotic, I would up the vitamin C right now anyway. And if it's only been like a week or so since you finished it, it may not be a bad idea just to throw this in the mix for a week or so.
Yeah, it's been weeks. It's since the very first.
Yeah. Then the vitamin C for sure, but not necessarily the Uva ursi.
Okay. All right.
Wait a minute. It's not Uva ursi. Uva ursi's in there. It's URISTATIN. It contains Uva ursi, but that it contains other things as well. Uristatin. Okay. All right, I saw Karen waving at me.
Hi. So we had brought this up on a call the other week. So I had sent in a email to the help desk because there was there's a lot of links in the course that takes us to the Unstoppable website. And it just says that I don't have access to it. So I logged in with that particular password because it's different from my NEPT one. And then I actually used my NEPT one and it still didn't work. But then I got another email back to me from the help desk. And I'm not sure what they want me to do with that. I don't know how they log IT issues. So I'm not sure what they're asking me to do.
So basically they will log in as you to see if it works. They will always want to log in as you. So if you've changed your password and for some reason it didn't get logged into our system, they may need to know your password. But what I would recommend you do is change your password.
Oh, because I never changed it yet.
Okay. Change it so it's the same on both sites. So you don't have to get confused. Right? Okay. You know, change it to something you're going to remember that's the same on both sites.
Okay.
But I brought that up after we had that conversation and they said that was all taken, whatever those links were. I said, just take those links out and put PDFs in instead. Yeah. And they said they did that. Is that not?
Yeah, no, because it was weird because, so I'm in 4 and I had a lot of it checked off, but then when I logged back into it, you know, after that call, I don't remember how many days after, because I log into it so many times as I'm still progressing through. Everything that I had already checked, it was all gone. And I had to recheck everything. I mean, I knew where I had stopped and I knew what video I needed to watch next, but it took out everything. So then it just took time because I had to go on every slide and recheck things.
But yeah, did it give it back to you? I mean, it still gave you, you still had access to what you needed. Oh, you didn't take away access.
Well, okay. But I tried the other links previously where it sent me to the other site and it still said I didn't have access. So I just wanted to mention that.
Yeah, really. Yeah. Because I told them, don't send people off to those pages. Just put the PDFs of those, and they changed them to the PDFs of those assessments.
Oh, okay.
Right. And so they should just be PDFs, which should not require any access. It's just a link.
Well, one of them was like the fitness video library. So I don't know, that could be a PDF. Yeah. So, cause that was definitely one of them that I couldn't access.
And you should, I'm going to look into that on UHC because that library should have, do you remember what that was, would have been module 4, right?
Yeah. It's still in 4. I'm still in 4, unfortunately.
All right. I will check that. Because that on there should have any PT marked as having access to it, right?
Yeah.
And you'll have that till the end of your level 1. And then that access to that site goes away because you're only given 6 months. So we have to figure out a way to move that over.
Okay.
Okay. Got it. Thank you. These are good things to know.
And did you need to know what my win was?
Yes, I would like to know what your win is for sure.
So let me just, put a disclaimer on there that don't ask anyone to do this, including yourself. I just did it because out of frustration. So back when I was in high school, I was told that I was allergic to seafood. And they said I was so allergic to fish that I needed to have an EpiPen with me. Because when they did the skin prick, it was like the size, it was like 4++. It was so big. So, so that was like probably 1990. What is it? 2021 now.
Yeah.
And, I just got my organics back and, had my appointment with the doctor and I just had my consult with the lab doctor also. So many times you had taught about the conversion, of plant-based, versus the
short chain to long chain, basically. Yep.
Yeah. And how you're just not going to yield, the same with, the fish oil. So I basically told my mom, I'm like, I'm going to go get fish. I said, if anything happens to me, I'm like, get your pants on. You can take me to the ambulatory.
You had your EpiPen handy.
No, I don't even have one anymore. Ones that I had, they were expired probably 900 years.
Black, dark coffee.
Oh,
okay. Just saying, I'm not a big fan of coffee, but that's what my husband does because he's allergic to cats. And if he gets exposed and he starts to get the asthmatic thing, he just drinks a bunch of coffee or ephedra, the herb ephedra. You can get it as a tincture
And
have it on hand at all times. And that also opens up the airways. You got to be careful with that. Cause
I know. That's why I said I wouldn't that's my disclaimer. So I got cod and haddock. So I had the haddock first and I didn't have any reactions. 2 days later I had the cod and I noticed like my feet were itchy because I had reintroduced some foods from my food sensitivity because it had been well over 6 months. I said, oh, let me try some of them. So I got some of those rashes back. So I did get a little itchiness. So I didn't think I did so well with the cod, but I didn't have any issues with my throat or breathing or anything. So, cause I always wanted to just be able to take, fish oils so I can deal with my energy issues. Cause even the one doctor, she goes, if you take, fish oil supplements for 6 months, that probably will solve a huge, energy issue for me. I mean, obviously with all my Bs, cause I'm significantly deficient in a lot of those and the carotene, but I'm like, I'm so sick of being sick. And then, if I did just the plant-based, I mean, I just can't, like I said, I disclaimer, don't do that.
Don't
I
try that.
So
yeah.
Frustrated. I just, whatever. So I did it and I lived to tell about it.
So you're going to get some fish oil and try just supplementing with that.
Yeah. It's tricky because a lot of the fish oil companies will use corn and soy in the capsule. So I was just
liquid. Nordic Naturals liquid. Yep. Lemon flavored, you know, whatever. Here's the thing though. Eating fish is maybe more dangerous for you than taking the fish oil because allergy reactions are to the protein. We have a reaction to the protein. The immune system attacks the protein. Generally speaking, the fish oil shouldn't have any fish protein left in it. If they do, it's just going to be, you know, barely a trace. So you're going to be safer with the fish oil than you would with eating cod or whatever else you're eating because of the protein.
Yeah, because on my MRT, none of this, all my seafood was in green. There was nothing. So I think that's another reason why I tried it because I knew the other immune reaction. But if those came up, I obviously, if they were in the yellow or red, I would have never tried it. But because I knew that, that's why I even made a risky decision like that. I just want to be able to get better and I don't want it to take extra time because of the plant-based and blah, blah, blah.
Well, here's the thing though. We have to realize that when you have a bunch of food allergies show up, it's not the food's fault. It's usually your gut. You have a leaky gut, you have poor digestion. And when you work on healing the gut, it gets better. A lot of people, at least in the olden days, when I first started practice, like in the ancient ages of functional medicine back in whatever, 1980, 90, we basically were looking at like, oh, let's test everybody for allergies and just get them off foods and everything's fine. And then people would come back with 27 allergies. And like, how do you get somebody off 27 different foods? And they were like, oh, wait a minute, there's something underlying this. I always say if it's more than 5 or 6 foods that show up, there's the leaky gut. There's other components, poor digestion. You're not absorbing things properly. So you have to get off those foods temporarily. And if they're the red ones, you have to do it for 6 months. But then you reintroduce them after you've done the 4-hour protocols and done the healing, the leaky gut protocols.
Right.
So congratulations on healing some of your gut issues. That's really awesome. Another thing I want to mention since you bring it up with the omegas, right? So when we look at the blood spot fatty acid, or we do an organic acid, not organics, but a NutriVal or one test or whatever that has that in there, they have the fatty acids in there. You look at that and you're going to see that sometimes people are really high in their short chain, their linoleic acids, and they're really low in their EPA, DHA, and then on the 6th side, the GLA. And so when you see that, it means that the delta 60 saturase enzyme is not functioning properly. So you have to look at what are the cofactors for delta 60 saturase. And we have that in module 1, it's level 1, it's actually, those charts are in module 2. So take a look at them there. They're also, again, in macronutrients. When we get to macronutrients, we have a whole section on fatty acids. So there's a whole lot of that and the charts are there. So there's B vitamins, there's vitamin C, copper. And if you don't have good levels of those, which the majority of people out there don't because they're eating crappy processed foods, then you've got to up those. And if you have a genetic marker called FADS2, which you might have, then that's going to slow down that conversion. Right.
Yeah, so, I have that SNP. I looked it up last time.
Right. So you have to, So doing the longer chain, and you can do algae-based longer chains. It's just a lot more expensive if you get the, like Nordic Naturals has one that's algae omega, and Diva has one, and some of them have them. And you're right, they do. Some of them have excipients and you don't want, but you have to take a whole lot more. And so it's a lot more expensive to get. If you're somebody who has cardiac stuff, right? And you want to get them on like 2 grams a day of EPA, DHA, it's a lot. It's like a quarter of a bottle of the algae based versus, you know, a couple of dropperfuls of the fish based. So it's less efficient. I use them and my numbers are fine, but you know, everybody, it's going to be a little different. And that's what the stuff you really have to look at, delta 60 saturase. The other thing that helps a lot is when you combine coconut with the with those short chains. So if you have just had a bowl of chia porridge with coconut yogurt, that's going to help the absorption. It actually, some studies say by tenfold, it increases that conversion from short to long. So have your people and yourself add coconut to your omega-3s, to your flax or chia, walnuts, whatever else you're doing for omega-3s that are short chain. And that's going to increase that conversion. Because the more you can get it from food, the better, the less expensive it is to, you know, and having to deal with supplements.
Right.
Yep. Thank Good. You. Thank you. So Darcy.
Okay, so my win is that I have a girlfriend who's pregnant, and she had just had a baby, and her baby's been fussy. And so we've been working together on trying to help her just figure out this. And so she did an elimination diet, and we've kind of figured out some major things. It's always cracks me up to see people draw to the things that they shouldn't be eating. I do the same thing.
They're addictive, right? Yeah.
Yeah. You have to be the
opiates.
One.
It's opiate addiction, really.
I know. So I had to be that person that gently said again and again, I think your protein powder is wrong for you. and she did oxalates and took those out, and the baby is so much happier.
Oh, great.
So we're not done, but that's such a huge place to be. So it's good.
Awesome. It's awesome. And you know what? A lot of moms are like looking for, and I tried to deal with somebody who, you know, on a Facebook group, and I'm like, you gotta work with mom, right? Why is baby fussy? And they're looking for this and that and all kinds of stuff to give the baby. And people are saying, give them those drops and all these things. I'm like, what's mom eating?
Yeah.
What's mom eating? You gotta deal with it. So congratulations. It's awesome.
Yeah. That was fun. Okay. So my question is for me, and I think I just need a little hand holding. I have inflammatory thyroid autoimmune, mm-hmm. and I was on, Armour, and then my doctor prescribed T4, and then I had him do the antibodies. And so with long and short, I just felt like I needed to get off all of my thyroid medicine, because I couldn't tell, something was bothering me and I just couldn't figure out what it was. And I just kept taking more and more stuff out of my diet, out of my supplements. And I got down to the T4, and it was like, every time I took it, I just got flushed and I just felt weird. And so I stopped taking it. And now I'm trying to just watch what my thyroid is doing. And so it's at 5.5.
The TSH is.
The TSH is.
What about your free T3?
It is 2.7, and that's better. And then my T4 has changed. It's 1.1.
Total. Okay. That's at the low end, but they're both, it's a little above the beginning of the optimal range.
Yeah.
So you definitely have a conversion issue going on, because your T4, if you look in the master tracker document, I don't know if you have access to that, but we have this thing. There's this called the thyroid scale diagrammer. And yes. There's a guy named Rind who put it together. And I put it in the chart because you can see where they lie on the scale. So your 5.5 is going to be way out here. Your 1.1, and say this is the middle. I'm just envisioning this in my brain.
Yeah.
So this is the middle, right? The 5.5 on TSH is going to be way over to the one side. The T4, the 1.1 on the T4 is probably right there in the middle. It might be at the low end of the middle, and your T3 is below. So you've got this thing going on. So conversion is important, right? If you're taking T4 and your body can't convert it all to T3, rather than taking more T3, let's look at why isn't it converting. So look at your selenium levels, magnesium levels, stress levels, because too much or too little cortisol can impact that conversion.
Yeah. Well, and how far, like I was trying to let this all get out of my system, plus do good things for the autoimmune side. When do I say, okay, this is probably where my thyroid is at? Is it safe to do that?
How high was your, it is safe. If you had said yours was 32, your TSH, I'd go get back on medication right away and work with it. So I'm going to give you a couple of possibilities. How high were your antibodies?
My thyroglobulin antibodies right now are 2, and the thyroid peroxidase antibodies is 37.
Okay. So you're in a low end of the scale of autoimmune. In fact, most conventional Western doctors would say, you're barely above on TPO. Anything above zero is not good, but you know, below 10 is where I'm looking for on TPO, and below, you know, one on thyroglobulin. So there's definitely an autoimmune, but it's not a raging crazy autoimmune, right? So you want to work on inflammation, any kind of inflammation in your body. Definitely work on your leaky gut. Leaky gut is hugely connected. And if you're saying to me that you've had a lot of food sensitivities and all, you likely have leaky gut. So the leaky gut repair has got to be top on your priority. The other things to look at for healing the autoimmune are stress levels, right? So if you haven't done a Dutch test or a saliva cortisol, it's a good thing to look at and try to balance and optimize that. And then also heavy metals can be a possibility. Do you have dental fillings or anything that would dispose you to, or do you do a lot of collagen protein or bone broth in particular, where you can raise your levels of heavy metals? Because bones, you know, hold on to lead. And when we soak and cook bones for hours and hours, we increase the lead content in that bone broth.
Well, I do have filling, so I keep going back and forth about, should I get them replaced? And it's expensive, and you have to find someone you can trust. So
absolutely, all those things are considerations, right? But it is a source of the stress on your system, and it may be that stress. So I would look at the leaky gut first and foremost, because that's something you can control a lot. I would look at chelating agents, but gentle chelating agents for that, to pull that out. If you were to do a stool or a urine test, even a hair test, to see how high those levels are, you could do, probably you'd have to do a challenged urine, because it's probably not that high. I've had people who have major heavy metals. I don't even do a challenged urine. I just do a straight urine, and we see like massive amounts. But if it's really like hidden in your tissues or in your brain, or, you know, in your wherever, your collagen, your support tissues, it's going to be problematic. Or if it's attacking your thyroid. The thyroid is a very sensitive piece of tissue. It's super sensitive. It's sensitive to all the you know, all the chemicals and pesticides and all, not just what you're doing now, but what's built up in your tissue and is stored in your fat. I mean, you're not an overweight person, so you don't have, you know, massive dumps of heavy metals from your tissues. But I would look at, if you haven't already done so, go into the, on the Empowered side, go into the TS Thyroid Revive and Thrive program, and just take it step by step. But there are some sections in there on autoimmune and specific herbs and all that kind of stuff. So I would look there. And it could be the heavy metals in your mouth that are contributing to that. So anything that's autoimmune, there's a really cool chart at the end of, I think it's in unit five, whatever we call them over there, of the Thyroid Revive and Thrive, that I would everybody print out, put a little lamination on it, keep it handy in your storage, because it really shows you how to look at the lab tests and figure out what's at a balance of all the different patterns. Dr. Karazian talks about 22 different patterns of thyroid imbalance. That's a lot of different patterns. Medicine looks at two, three, low thyroid, hyperthyroid, cancer. That's it, right? We're looking at, there's 22 different levels of dysfunction, and we go through those in there. Not as in depth as we go through them in any PT in the thyroid module, but it's definitely worthwhile to go there and really evaluate that. As far as being off the medication, so you're off of it completely now?
Yeah.
And you've been off for how long?
3 months, basically. Okay.
And how do you feel in terms of energy and constipation, depression, you know, typical thyroid-y type symptoms?
I would say the symptoms that I still see is cold hands, lower libido, and just a tiny bit tired, more tired.
Okay.
But I'm doing well.
Okay. So here's what I could see you doing. There's a company called Restorative Formulas, Restorative Formulation, www.restorative.com, I think it is. And they have a formula called ThyroCare that I've used with quite a number of people and seen major improvements in their thyroid. We're looking at how they were feeling. We're about to retest on one of them to see if the actual numbers show But the body is one of those things that, you know, a lot of times you go on thyroid medication and you don't feel any different. The numbers may change, but you still feel like crap, you know? So, and the other thing to really look at in that thing, in section 5 has this summary document that's like 30 pages and it's phenomenal. And it's got, so it got this whole section on receptor resistance. And that's the thing that everybody overlooks. Like, look, my numbers look perfect. Yeah, but what about the receptors, which we can't test? I mean, the way you test the receptors is you say, oh, everything's fine, but I still feel like thyroid symptoms. It's probably receptors. So you have to look at vitamin A is a biggie. But low vitamin A can be contributing to receptor resistance. High homocysteine, and it doesn't have to be off the charts high, just a little bit above the optimal, can contribute to receptor resistance. And again, going back to stress, high or low levels of cortisol can affect that. So those are the things I would look at.
Okay. Yeah, because I have an appointment next month and I know he's going to pressure me to get back on medicine. And I just was like, that moment where I have to say no to the doctor.
So here's the thing. I'm going to just throw this out there. You don't have to say no. You can say, thank you very much. I'll consider it. You can take the prescription and then you can decide. This is your body. You get to choose. And doctors they want to pressure you. They do. They pressure you into taking medications. They pressure you into getting vaccines. They pressure you into taking antibiotics. They pressure you, right? Because that's what they know. And that's legally what they need to do, because that's what's in their scope. So they have to tell you to go back and take the medication, right? So you can always say, thank you very much. I will take your recommendations into consideration.
Okay.
Take the thing. I know people who do that. They rip the prescription up, they throw it in the trash and they walk away, right? You get to make the choice.
Okay, that's good. So yeah, perfect. Because I felt like I just needed a little, hand holding before I that appointment. So that's good. So thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I'll work on that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And just anybody who's, working with somebody with thyroid, if you're in an APT, but you haven't made it to that section yet, I would highly recommend that take advantage of having access to the Empowered Self-Care site and go to Thyroid Revive and Thrive. It has that, just that one document alone is pretty comprehensive and really useful. Okay. And I see it all the time that people, they miss it. Like doctors, naturopaths, people who are working with folks are missing some of these critical key components that to me are just obvious and it's just second nature, but they're missing those pieces. And always ask when somebody comes in, yeah, we'll get to you next. One second. Before I lose my train of thought, and I already did. I'm very distractible. I would be diagnosed with ADD if I let them. So what was I saying about, what were we talking about? Okay. So somebody comes in to see you and they say, oh, I've got these problems. They've been going on for years. I've gone to these naturopaths. I've gone to acupuncturists. I've seen a functional medicine doctor, conventional medicine, and nobody seems to be able to help me. That's a scary situation. You go, how am I going to be able to help you? Always go to the basics and ask the question. So are you doing this? Are you taking that? Was this test run? Are you eating gluten? Are you, how much sugar do you eat? Have you been testing your blood sugar? And you'll be shocked at how many of these basic things that we think, oh, all the basics must have been covered by all these people. Now I have to go look for the zebras, right? The needle in the haystack. And oh my God, can I do this? A lot of times it's just those basics that have been missed. So trust your basics. I can't tell you how many people I've seen who've come in like, I can't get my adrenals working. I still have these thyroid antibodies, or I still have anemia after 30 years. Like, you shouldn't have anemia after 30 years. What's missing, right? And we go back to the basics. We go back to the diet, the stress, the sleep, specific baseline supplements, fatty acid balance, all those things. And boom, they get better because you had that little linchpin that everybody was overlooking because they were going for the, what advanced tests can I do? Somebody posted, I saved it. I'm going to see if I can figure out how to put it into a file, but it was a post on a site, a functional medicine site that I saw last night. I've got this new person in and I just did the blood chem and this is out of balance and this is out of balance. You know, what other tests do I need to run and what should I be doing? And I'm like, you got this big test here. Let's work on what's here. What are they eating? What are they drinking? How are they breathing? Are they meditating? How much are they sleeping? Are they eating gluten or dairy or other things? Are they sensitive to histamines even? That's more advanced, but these are things you ask questions, right? After you eat, you get all red and puffy and you have red spots and itchiness. You've got to go back to those basics. And I just read the comments by these other functional medicine doctors and, oh, try testing this and test that. And I'm like, guys, you're missing it. You're missing the boat. Okay, Leah.
Actually, I have other questions too, but for Darcy, I was just going to comment. And of course, all the basics, like you said, but have you ever looked at your iodine? Like, yes. Do you have any idea where that is?
Yeah.
With the receptors and all that and the halides and the flushing and.
Yeah, I have.
That's a good point. Yeah. And that's a really good point to bring up because with iodine and thyroid, you can have low iodine or you can have excessive iodine. And I know there's a lot of functional medicine docs out there. One just wrote a book on it, like condemning iodine, like it's the bad guy. It's not the bad guy. Too little, you can't make thyroid hormone. Too much, you can imbalance the thyroid, right? And you can trigger Hashimoto's. So how do we find that right balance for each person? We cannot in good conscience go out and say to everybody, oh, iodine, bad for Hashimoto's, don't take it, because 90% of hypothyroid is Hashimoto's. Don't consider that. Don't go that route. But also don't just willy-nilly put somebody on iodine because they have a thyroid problem. That, and the iodine load test is what you were talking about, right? Looking at the halides. I love that test. It's an amazing test. And it's not done very much. Yeah, thank you.
I just got one, but I have to go to Pennsylvania to pick it up.
Good old New York.
so aggravating. But anyway, so one of my questions was about the herbs. So I know somebody with a lot of bronchial phlegm, like every single morning, she's just struggling to cough up all this junk. She's on several pharmaceuticals and stuff for asthma.
Is it clear, yellow, green? What does it look like? What does the phlegm look like?
I know that she said in the past that it had a color to it, not green, but they told her she has no infection. So I think generally speaking, it is relatively colorless unless, you know, she's got a cold on top of it. But in the herbal section, you were talking about using slippery elm for a cough. Would that be appropriate for somebody who has so much phlegm? Because, you know, I know that like you're kind of differentiating the herbs that were wet and dry. Mm-hmm. Like how would that fit into all this?
So slippery elm tends to have, it doesn't, this is the weird part about it, which makes herbal medicine a little on the woo-woo side, right? But slippery elm goes down the gut. So we can easily see how it's going to clear, it's going to heal, it's going to, all those membranes it's touching. But what we've seen, and you know, people have observed for millennia probably, that when you take slippery elm, it triggers the mucous membranes in the lungs and the throat. Well, the throat, obviously, it goes through. It triggers mucous membranes in the throat, in the lungs to heal, which is kind of interesting, right? And if you look up in many traditional medicine books about, herbal medicine books about it, you'll see that. The other thing that I think about when I think of all that phlegm is think about NAC, N-acetylcysteine. N-acetylcysteine has the ability to thin out and make that just like easy to expel. So if she's sitting there with this thick mucus stuck to her bronchioles, right? It's going to help loosen it up and help her to expel it better. And so it won't build up like that. And I would probably do NAC 3 times a day in that case. Right.
Like what?
I think it comes in like 500 milligrams. I would start with just one a day, go to 2, 3, and then see if it's thinning out, but it's still there. You can always increase it. I think, I can't remember if it's 3,000 or 6,000. That would be like the top line that I would recommend for that. But okay. NAC is very good for that. Excellent for that. right?
Thank you.
The lungs, you know, if she's waking up with that, you can try mustard packs and have her do that before she goes to bed and in the morning, or one or the other. Mustard packs is an older remedy where you take mustard, a teaspoon of mustard with a cup of flour. Gluten-free flour, I would prefer, so that, you know, you don't get all the risk of gluten contamination. But you basically combine the two. You get a piece of 3-ply cheesecloth. You spread it out on there and you lay it on the chest. You've got to check it after 5 minutes, because if it's starting to get like beet red, it means that there's a chemical burn, right? Usually people can go to 10 minutes, but I always say to check it even after a minute or two the first time, and just keep checking to make sure you're not getting a burn from it, and then take it off. And then you lay down, usually like they hang their head over the edge of the bed with a pot, you know, there to collect the sputum and to just cough it up. It helps if you have somebody to do some percussion on their back while they're doing that to help loosen the phlegm and pull it out. So those are some things that work really well. The third thing is lobelia, although you got to be really, really careful with lobelia because too much of it can cause vomiting. People don't like it. So maybe even just a drop of lobelia, just to see if that helps loosen everything.
She was diagnosed with Barrett's esophagus in the past. But I know that the last swallow study or barium swallow, whatever it is they did, it cleared up. But she still struggles with all that mucus. I mean, it's been years. She's my my girl's dance instructor. So I see her like probably several times a week. And yeah. I just love her to death. She's so amazing. And I want her to be around a long time, but she struggles so much with this.
Well, I would say if she had Barrett's, the slippery elm, you can't go wrong with slippery elm, unless she also has a FODMAP sensitivity, you know, she has a lower bowel stuff, but the slippery elm is so helpful, and so is DGL. And just even lozenges of DGL, so she can suck on it and help, that will keep, maintain the integrity.
Hey, it's Darcy. You doing okay?
Oops, let's mute more, Darcy.
Well, DGL can make you have to go to the bathroom, right?
Not really.
Okay.
I haven't experienced. I haven't seen that.
Okay. Okay. My other question was, you mentioned the place where you get the blood sugar meters that give you the readout. Like, you can get them for 2 weeks.
Oh, you mean this one.
Yeah,
the Freestyle Libre. There's a place.
That's what's on your arm? I always wonder what's on your. Okay.
That's the blood sugar meter.
Okay.
And then all you have to do to test it is you hold your phone up and go beep, and it reads your blood sugar.
And oh, what was?
Yeah, you've got it too. Barbara has one too. Yeah. So you either have to get a doctor to prescribe it.
That's not going to happen.
And then there's a company called Levels, let me find it, that has this program. It's a little more expensive than doing it that way. But after you do their $400 program at the beginning and you get their app, they give you two months worth of meters in there. And then they give you a prescription that you can get renewals for 11 months, which is pretty cool, right? And you can do it as often as you want. So let me find, have a link. Let me find it here. Levels. It's your set. Here it is. Levels. Let's put it in the chat. Continuous. There's another one that's just come out. I looked at it. It's called January something or other. But they're more expensive. They give you 1 month of it for like $250 or $300. So I don't know anything about that. This one I actually ordered through just to see. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Anything else?
Where did I write? I'll find that other question and ask it later.
Okay, good. Sounds good. Okay, who else has questions, comments, wants to report a win? I love to hear your wins. Even if you don't have a question, you're welcome to report a win. Who has something? you can either just open your line and say hi, or you can go ahead and raise your hand.
Hello, no? Everybody.
Can you hear me? Hi, Terry. Know. Yeah. Can you hear me? Yeah, totally.
No. Oh, good. No. Good, good, good. Yeah. So my win is I'm up to chromium. The last time we spoke, I was up to boron and the level two.
Oh, well, that's good. That means you got through all the vitamins, right? Aren't the vitamins?
Yeah, the vitamins were great. Woo! Yeah, the vitamins were great.
You're a speedy Gonzalez.
Yeah, but now when I got to chromium, I was like, whoa, this is looking a little, I have to take a step back. I'll wait for another day, but I'm trying to do one a day.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
One a day or one every other day. But the other thing I have to speak about, and also started my website and starting to download some of the files so that I can be more effective at helping people and helping themselves better. Lastly, I have my sister-in-law I'm going to be working with, and she's coming to me on Friday. And she just called me today. She's coming with her blood work, but she called me today, oh, my cholesterol is up, and now they want to raise my statins. And now she's this healthy, she's obese, and she's been working slowly, has gone down about 50 pounds over this past, 4 years, actually. It took a while. And now she still has another 50 to go. But she's doing Weight Watchers, which still includes the sugar and the wheat and the dairy and the, but treat yourself nice, you know? So I'm hoping to do the levels with her. I said, this is all insulin resistance. I think the cholesterol is just this way of popping up to show you, hey, alert, I'm trying to work harder so that you can decrease the inflammation in your arteries. So I want to introduce to her, I'm going to try and do the levels and see if she'll get a glucose meter so she can really watch what's happening with her glucose during the week. And I want to explain to her about the statins, how statins are not the bad guy. I mean, well, the statins are.
Well, they are the bad guy, but they're not, the cholesterol isn't the bad guy.
And they don't even have her on Q10, CoQ10.
Yeah, that should be mandatory that anybody
right.
that statins has to.
Because that's depleting CoQ10. And as you said in one of the talks, that what's the most important, that depletes your muscles of energy. And what's the most important muscle you have in your body, but your heart?
Your heart.
It's depleting your heart of energy. So, and I don't even know if it's adding to the problem we have in the world on, you know, Alzheimer's and dementia, because it's depleting the brain of cholesterol when it needs to be fed. And of course,
and the thing about cholesterol, it goes up because there's an inflammation in the arteries.
Yeah, right.
To address it. And statins don't really address the inflammation in the arteries. So, you know, make sure, I don't know what blood work she has, but make sure you look at carefully, not just her fasting glucose. I mean, it's going to go high late in the game, right? Late in the game, as you know. So I would be looking at, did she get A1C? Did she get insulin, fasting insulin, right?
She didn't get any insulin testing, no A1C done. There's nothing wrong with her. But her cholesterol is too high.
Did they do even oxidized LDL? Did they? And likely it is. If she's obese and she's been doing this stuff, she likely has all these other issues. But they're telling her everything's fine. Cholesterol's high. Just take a statin and you'll be fine.
That's exactly. And you'll be fine.
And that's just such a...
And we now know statins cause heart attacks. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's in the literature.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm going to start researching that to see where the best, and we have that in our library, don't we, about the statins? I think I was looking on the site the other day. So there's at least a couple of talks. I know one was in the IRSBT as well as I think.
And then in the cardiovascular module, we have one.
Right.
And the ACR, the Advanced Clinical Resources, go and listen to Dr. Alan Hopkins' talk. It was
phenomenal. Because then I could get her some research, because I think these doctors just are uneducated when it comes to, they're just not up on the research. They don't have any time.
They don't have time to be up on the research, and they're being fed their information from pharmaceutical companies.
And they're being fed information from pharma,
Right. So you've got this, and definitely look at I think the blood sugar it's just such a big issue that's overlooked in everybody with heart disease, right?
And yeah.
Look at her C-reactive protein, look at her homocysteine. Right? You got to balance those B vitamins to get that homocysteine imbalance. So those are all the things that she should be tested for.
Okay, terrific. Well, thank you very much. And I'll report back on that, because that's pretty big. And I hope that, you know, doing, even if I can get her through the sweet spot or doing at least checking her levels of her glucose, that will be for her to understand the inflammation is coming from glucose, not coming from the cholesterol.
Most likely. I mean, if she's, you know, so well, she's gotten there for a reason.
You know, one of the you know, I don't know if you ever heard of that story, you know, or the joke where the scientist does an experiment on a frog to see how far a frog will jump according to how many legs it has. Did you ever hear that? And they, yeah, they goes, you know, it, and that's what I told my sister-in-law. It's like that experiment with the frog, because he cuts off one leg and it goes, jump, frog, jump, takes the other leg off, and frog with four legs jumps 10 feet, frog with three legs jumps 5 feet, frog with two legs, you know, in 3 inches, and frog with one leg, 1 inch, and then takes off the last leg and he says, jump, frog, jump, jump, frog, jump. And his data is, at the final analysis, is that frog with no legs go deaf. Didn't move. And that's what I told her. I said, that's what's happening with these statins and cholesterol. That now that you have cholesterol up, that's that go deaf. We're making the wrong analogy.
Right. It's why is the cholesterol high?
Right.
That's the question with everything. Why is it that way? Why is it that way?
They're not asking that.
They're not asking.
And the scientists didn't go, oh, why did the frog not move? Is it possible there was another reason why the frog didn't move? And that's who's, so I love that that story, just because it's so impactful about the wrong, you can get the wrong information out of what seemingly looks correct.
Exactly.
Like, hey, everybody get vaccinated.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that kind of thing. Right. So, but anyway, so I will get that. I'm going to read that lecture before she comes. And thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely. And I did talk on Saturday. I don't know if you were there, but there I talked about those different tests as well.
Yeah, yeah. I
think not as in depth as it will be in, you know, the full blood chemistry analysis module, but it definitely, from a point of view of, it was very well received. It was extremely okay.
Yeah,
well.
No, it was very good, yeah.
Yeah.
So thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Good job. Leah.
Can I piggyback a question off of Teresa's?
Yeah.
So you said that high cholesterol, or she was talking about high cholesterol is really her big issue yes. of her clients. What genetic markers would be important to look at in something like that, you know, for people who have high cholesterol, no matter what they seemingly do? Because my dad is like that.
Is one of them. Let me open up. I'm just going to open up somebody's.
Thank you, Leah.
Genetic report, and I'll show you. There's a whole section in the genetic detoxification report. Let me find it. I'll open up mine. And looking at my genes made me realize I don't think my parents, you know, the young heart attacks in my family had to do with heart disease markers as much as blood sugar markers. Okay, where am I? I should be in this one that says private clients. Okay, let's see. Okay, let's see. Nope, it's not that one. Give me a second. I'm looking for my genetic report and then I'll show it to you.
Get your strategy.
I haven't done it yet. It's still sitting on the counter.
Oh no.
Take the tests. I'm just so bad at taking tests. I've got like 4 tests sitting on my counter and I keep forgetting to do it. And then I remember on Friday when I have free day and I'm like, Friday, you can't do it because then you can't send it. Anyway, let me find it. Rita Marie, here I am. Nutrigenomics. Is this the one? No, that's. I'm looking for my genetic detoxification. Genetic detoxification. Okay, I'm opening that. And then I'll do a share screen. Okay, good. So share screen. Okay, it just everything goes away. There we go. Share screen. Genetic detoxification. There you go. All right. So can everybody see that? I can make it a little bigger if it's too small. I'll make it 100%. All right, you can see my screen? Yes? Okay, so if we go through this and we scroll down, there's others too, but I'm gonna show you some of the main ones that relate to that chronic elevation of glucose, of cholesterol that doesn't really go down. BRCA, autoimmune, here we go. All right, so there's a whole bunch here in the cardiovascular system. The one that I see most elevated in people, this one, when they just genetically, CETP, and there's two of them. This one, LDLR, that's related to LDLs being elevated, right? You see why I don't think my heart attacks in my family were related to the genetics here. My heart attacks, if you looked at my blood sugar genes, which they don't have a section on this report, it's a mess. So yeah, these are the ones that I see most involved. This is the one I was talking to earlier, it's FADS1. That's related to the conversion of the short chains to the long chains, which is why I do take like an algae oil with EPA and DHA in it to make sure I do that right. Plus I eat tons of good vegetables to convert it. Okay. The other one to really look at for your dad would be the nitric oxide group, because those are so controllable. NOS. Now, see, this is one that for me, I crave arugula. My body knows arugula is really good source of nitric oxide. So I crave it. And I have good levels when I test them because of that. Okay. And then I would look at the vitamins and minerals like the D's and all that kind of stuff. Okay. Does that help? Yes. Okay. Let me go back to stop share. Okay. Good questions. Anybody else have good questions? I love good questions.
I have a
Who's this? Oh, is that Anu? Oh, Malik, Karima. Okay, gotcha.
Guess what? After the start of the module 2, I actually went and got pure water installed.
What did you, I'm sorry, there's a lot of noise in the background. I don't know if it's you or somebody else, but say it again, because it was hard to hear you.
So now I have purified water in the house.
Okay, and you didn't before, is that what you're saying?
No, yeah, I was using tap water and Brita. But after I did the module 2 start, whatever, I just went and got pure water installed.
Okay, yeah, that's super important, especially with your girl's health, right? Yeah. Those toxins.
So that was my ring, right?
Yeah, 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 that's great. That's a great win, awesome. Good for you.
Thank you.
Is that you that has people in the background speaking?
Maybe because I'm at work.
Got it. Okay. Do you have any other questions?
I do, but I'll move to another place before I can ask you.
Okay, do that. That would be good. All right, who else? Who else has questions or comments?
Martha,
where are you? There you are. Hi.
Don't have my picture up. It's me. my win is that if you ask for something enough, you get it. So I've got like 5 people that I have lab work to do on.
Whoa.
I'm excited, but I'm overwhelmed at the same time trying to put it in. And I've taken 2 people through the grand program. And so the question is, I did email Lisa and ask her if she wanted, everything every week or all at once.
All at once.
She said all at once. But the question is, do we just send the summaries in of our documentation, or do we send in the master tracker with everything?
The thing says what to do, like the instructions say what to do. So I would say, master tracker, probably not. I would say summary of lab findings. These are the abnormals that I found. This is what I did to help them address it. This is the follow-up lab I recommended.
Okay. And then I have a couple that wants to go through the RSPT program.
Awesome.
So that's exciting. But the question is
already one, right? You don't need 4. You don't need 5 for your certification. The rest of them would be your.
I thought RSPT, you don't need 2 people.
Or 2, maybe it's 2, yeah.
I think it's there'll be 2 different people. But the question is, I already looked at one of the lab work, and the vitamin D on this person's at 20. And the she says she's going to a functional doctor, and that doctor prescribed her only 2,000 units of vitamin D. So how how do I help her tell her doctor she wants to take more?
So if you look in the vitamin D module, okay, I'm going to find this for you. I'm going to show you my slides from the other day, and I have this really cool chart.
That's that chart.
Okay. You have that. You want me to show it to you now? Do you got to take a picture of it? But you have access to that in the vitamin D module in NEPT and the micronutrients.
Well, if you put it up on the screen, I can take a picture and then see.
All right, let me find it.
Because I wondered, I mean, is that, I didn't know whether that's a tender boundary trying to tell someone to tell their doctor, just like we were talking about earlier, trying to tell somebody I'm anti-medicine. I don't, you know, I prefer now.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because you have to say it in a way that's, hey, the research that I've done, if you go out to my blog and even in that module, there's tons of research studies that show that, you know, when you get up into the 75 to 100 range, the incidence of cancers goes way down. People with autoimmune disease in the 75 to 100 range, there's a ton of that research. So if this is a person that needs to see the research, it's kind of interesting that the folks that need to see the research just take all the rest of the crap at face value.
Right.
So I'm going to share my screen and I will show you this chart. And I put this together just based on clinical experience and looking at research. And some people need more, some people don't need quite as much. But if it's at 20, I'm looking at do it for 3 months, a 10,000, and then retest. And for some, it budges a little bit and you have to up it up, put it up. For others, it moves up nicely and you just keep them at that dose.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then I guess ultimately it's always our choice, like you say, and we can choose to take more.
Yeah, your doctor.
As the consumer can look at the research and the doctor doesn't, still take that amount.
The ultimate thing is empowering your clients to be their own practitioner, basically, right? They need to take charge. Like I said to Darcy, you know, I try to empower Darcy to say, thank you very much. I'll take your advice under consideration. She can say, thank you very much. I'm concerned about my vitamin D. Everything I've read about vitamin D says I probably should be taking more, and I'm probably going to take more.
Okay. Well, I've had to tell doctors before, because I come from an insurance background. You don't want them writing down that they prescribed you something, because it comes back when you try to go get life insurance. Sometimes it won't be issued because you didn't get the medicine, or you didn't stay on the medicine, or you didn't get.
They're not sitting in your kitchen watching you take the medicine every day.
All right. So I just tell people to say, I'm looking for an alternative as well. So it doesn't hurt them that way. I just put that out there for those of you that never need to buy life insurance. That's where it comes back to buy.
I had life insurance denied once because I'd seen a chiropractor, and I hadn't done it in years, but I was seeing a chiropractor at one point, like multiple times a month or something, after I had an injury of some sort. And they were like, oh yeah, you're prone to blah, blah, blah. We're not going to do it. I had another life insurance turn me down because my mother died at age 56 of a heart attack. They didn't care that I didn't smoke. I ate well, I exercised. They didn't care.
I don't care about it.
They just thought I was a high risk.
Right. So you have to write a letter. But then the other good thing that happened, working with a girl that we had talked about on the call the other night, she did do the nuclear stress test, and the doctor wanted to put her on beta blockers. And she did, like you said, she thanked you, took the prescription, but didn't get it filled.
That's the thing, you've got to be careful. They have to know that what they're saying no to is, it's okay to say, like, if there's an urgent thing. So the problem I see with a lot of doctors, they don't explain to people why. If they explain to people why, and if we do that too, and a lot of functional doctors is guilty of the same, here's why I want you to take vitamin D at this level. There are studies that show that there are that the upper limit of safety is actually much higher than you're told. The body actually produces about 10,000 a day when you're exposed to bright sunlight. So, you know, we can handle that much. So there's ways that you explain it to people so that they understand. And I don't know what they found to say, don't take the beta blocker. I mean,
but she doesn't want to take it. And so what I redirected the conversation to, I said, what do you do for fun? Her name is Becky. And she said, well, nothing, I guess. So we're working on that
component. On the basic pillar type of approach, right?
Right, because it's always busy, busy, busy with her. And that could have a lot to do with why she's got this heart issue, even though she does low sugar. She does. Now, I guess the other question is, she's done barley glass every day for like the last 20 years. To me, I believe in rotation of greens. Can that create a problem?
You know, if she's sensitive to barley, if it's done properly, barley grass should not have gluten in it. But if it's not, if it's cut too close to the seed, if they just pull the whole thing up and throw it in and make it a powdered green, there could be actually gluten in there because part of the seed is there. So I would certainly consider anything that somebody's been doing for a long time to rotate them off of it for a couple of weeks.
Okay.
The other thing is to allow people if they make a decision that they don't want to take the pharmaceutical, is to encourage them that, okay, I would support you in that, but you also have to do some major changes here to your lifestyle to make you not need those pharmaceuticals. Like you're saying, the stress levels, looking at her adrenals, looking at her blood sugar, looking at potential food allergens.
Oh, I was even thinking fun, like you do pottery. Everything can't be work, and that's what, because I know the person, it helps. Everything can't be somehow related to something that's a business or something that you do.
That's why and fun so, is my first say,
why don't you take a pottery class or something just to relax your mind?
What was it? I think it was Terry was on the other day and said how she had gotten one of her clients to start doing some kind of dance movement. And they did it together at first, and that made a huge difference in her health.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Yes. And she's still doing it.
She's still doing it.
And she actually went back to work. She finally went back to work because she felt better.
Because she felt better, right? Simple things like that.
Simple things can make a big difference.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So yeah, I encourage you to, you know, make sure people are aware of that. Leo, you always have some good things to say. What's up?
Sorry. So I got another question kind of piggybacking off of what Martha was saying about the vitamin D. So Karen and I took a course on hair tissue mineral analysis. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with those?
Mm-hmm.
So the instructor was talking about how if you have a calcium shell, that taking extra vitamin D can actually contribute to the calcium shell and, you know, actually make you unable to balance your four primary minerals before you go, you have to balance those first. So
let me jump in there with K2. I forgot to mention, if you're putting somebody on the D, you got to go to K. You have to do K. I was just reading some research recently. People always ask me how much K versus D. It looks like about 10 times. So if you're doing D at 20,000, you should be doing 2,000 of K2. So if you're doing 5,000 or 10,000, you should just take a tenth of that. And that's how much you should be doing as K2, preferably MK7, but it can be MK4 as well. But it has to be K2, not K1.
So if you are supplementing with vitamin D and K2, then you're not at risk of making that calcium shell worse.
I think that's the case. And I just read a book called, it's called the Vitamin D Calcium Paradox. And it addresses that a lot of the problems that people get into. Yeah, okay, vitamin D helps us absorb more of the calcium. And then if we don't have the K, we can't convert it to the proper form, and then we end up with problems, and it has to do with osteocalcin and those sorts of hormones.
So and it won't go into the bones and teeth.
Well, yeah, we want it to go into the bones and teeth versus the arteries. And what's happening when we don't have the K is it's accumulating in the arteries versus going in and getting ossified into the bones.
Right. What was the name of that book?
It's called the Vitamin D and the Calcium Paradox.
Okay.
I listened to it. I know she was referencing, and I'm sure there's lots of studies that are listed in there as well. I always like to see how well researched their stuff is, but I was listening, but she was talking about various studies.
Okay. Yeah. Cause my vitamin D is also often in the tank, or it has been recently. And then after we took that course, like I was starting to take some vitamin D, and then, you know, Karen's like, you have a calcium shell, you can't do that. So we're like arguing about how you can do this but not make things worse, you know, in the long run.
Absolutely. Yeah, look into that. But the K2 makes a huge difference.
Yeah, I always take it with the K2 or the MK7. The drops that I have the MK7 with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I also have additional MK7 as well. You said it was 10 times?
About 10 times, yeah.
Okay.
10 times less of the K. Right. So if you're taking 5,000 vitamin D, you'd take 500 vitamin K.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. And A is important there too. And especially if you have the A SNPs, the BCMO1 A SNPs, you've got to be careful and make sure you get enough A in there too.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I have those. We were comparing all that fun stuff. So even if you're a slow oxidizer, you can take the A?
I think so. Okay. Especially if you have the SNP, if you're not going to be converting it. And she was talking about the same thing, like equal amounts of K of A and D, which I wasn't doing that. I was like keeping it to 5,000. So I'm going to look at some of those studies and see if I'm going to up it.
Okay.
Especially with the SNPs. I mean, I don't have a lot. I have a couple of yellows and a red. So it's
definitely. Do you have a vitamin K brand to recommend? I looked for some that's liquid, and it's real hard to find something.
Thorne has one. Seeking Health.
Okay. And it's really expensive without the D in it.
And if it's MK7, it's actually going to be usually going to be derived from natto. Now, you can get plenty of it if you can eat natto. I'm going to try to get myself to do it.
Are you going to do that on a cooking show? Show us how to make.
Karen is going to do it next month in April. Karen's going to show us how to make natto and how to incorporate it into meals. She's religious about it. Totally religious about it. Every day she does her natto.
So you can't use tempeh instead?
No. It doesn't have the same organism.
Okay.
Natto, I mean, you probably do natto 3 or 4 times a week and get plenty of K2, MK7.
Dr. Ritter,
does it taste good?
No, it tastes crappy. That's why I haven't eaten.
That's why you're saying 3 to 4 times a week.
I know. Yeah, I'm going to try it again. I'm going to play with it. She mixes it with sauerkraut. She makes it into dressings. She mixes it with very savory tasting foods. And she has a book on her website. It's like myfoodfitnessandfun.com. And it's like $10. You can get her book on how to make natto.
I look forward to that. Okay.
She left me some one time when she was going on vacation. She doesn't live too far from me. And she's like going on vacation. And she goes, I have all this natto left over and I can't eat it. I'm going to be gone for 10 days. Do you want it? I'm like, oh, sure. I try. It's stringy and gooey. And I'm like, I'm going to try it again. And she does it with not just soybeans, but she does it with, what does she do? Chickpeas as well. Yeah. I hate to talk bad. She always gets mad at me when I talk bad about natto. It's good. You can make it taste good. I have to figure out how. I'm going to try. After reading that book, I was like, okay, I'm going to get some natto and really try this.
Does she say how much you have to take to equivalent to be how much?
I don't remember. She did give numbers and the servings, they were enormous. If you just go look online and say, you'll see how much you don't have to take that much. It's like, you know, a couple of tablespoons. So it's not like you're sitting there with like huge amounts, like you need 2 cups of something. It's just really small. Karen used to keep them in just these little cups that she just divvy out her serving sizes with. And you can buy natto already.
Try to eat it. It's small until you try to choke it down.
No. She's going to teach it on the show next month in April, April 30th, I think it is.
Okay. So I do have something I'd like to ask you about.
Sure.
Just in general. I've been working with someone, I think I mentioned before, that has Tourette's.
Mm-hmm.
And that was how it was presented to me, that he had Tourette's. And once we got on the call, all this psychological stuff started coming up,
mm-hmm.
right? And the other people that I've known that have Tourette's also seem to have psychological issues, like a lot of oppositional defiance kind of behaviors.
That makes sense.
You know? And it's almost like energetically, I mean, it would be really interesting to talk to Laura Fine about this, actually. I just love her interpretations, but I always kind of try to interpret things that way anyway, just yeah. like what's happening on that side of the fence, you know, that's
yeah. And you think really, about Tourette's, it's just like this can't control I mean, basically oppositional defiance makes total sense because they can't control the impulse to curse at you and then they go back to normal, right? There's no impulse control, and that
interesting in that he doesn't oppose, except that all of a sudden he'll be like, okay, I'm done, I can't take anymore, and then he'll hang up on the Zoom call out of nowhere. And I'm like, we didn't even get to anything except discussing the last doctor appointment you went to and what you've been doing, which, by the way, I don't agree with, but we haven't even gotten to that point.
Wow.
And he's on psych meds. He obviously has some leaky gut issues. He's been taking a lot of supplements, like one called Zeal that I immediately didn't like, just because it has so many different ingredients in it, you can't tell what's doing what.
Mm-hmm.
And the mom is in the background chiming in, oh, and we tried this week and that this week, we think this and this happened, but they're not doing anything consistently.
Okay, so you can't tell. It's randomly. Just,
you know what? It's a big, you know what? A cluster. Anyhow, so, but they really, really want to work with me. And now they're talking about going to see Dr. Almond to get a brain scan, which is fine. But, you know, I don't mind any objective testing. And we've also done the oats and the NutriVal, because I'm trying to get some hard data so that we can all focus on the same thing, because they're just all over the place. I cannot herd these two cats.
Wow.
So
does mom have some of the same issues, it sounds like?
She's a former alcoholic. Mm-hmm. And so is everybody else in the family. And there's he has bipolar as well. And so does two of the other people in his family. So there's a lot of that.
There are going to be people who need they need
structure,
structure in the container. And right. And if they're just like, oh, I just read about this supplement and let me try this one. And things can be interacting in ways that is actually taking them in the wrong direction.
Right. And just the thought of having them stop the meds when he goes into crazy swings and is extremely impulsive. He says, he describes it like his chariot has taken off without him. And he knows that if he doesn't do something, or even if he does do something to counter the chariot leaving without him, that he's still going to end up wherever the chariot's going.
You mentioned about meds. Are they considering stopping his meds?
Well, his psychiatrist says that she'll talk to me and work with me, and he's getting all the forms signed. I mean, we're still pretty early on, considering there's like extensive history, and he gets very fatigued easily. It's like he's got a lot of mitochondrial stuff and his energy just goes, you know?
Yeah.
So he's on gabapentin. So that's kind of slowing down his thoughts anyway. Lamictal, lithium, and Lexapro was recently added because he's been depressed and he doesn't focus very well. So not only does he have his mom who thinks she knows everything distracting him, but he's super oppositional and he fades quickly. So it's like just threading the needle, getting a little bit of information in and repeating the same foundational things. Let's get to sleep on time at the same night, every night, get up and go walk and face the sun. Make sure you're hydrated. Let's monitor your food, mood and poop, you know?
What about omega-3s? I mean, the first thing I'm thinking about stuff is higher dose, not super high dose, but omega-3s.
Yeah.
You should have seen that in the NutriVal, the fatty acid.
Well, I haven't gotten the results back yet, but
you'll be able to see his fatty acid balance.
Yep. Yep.
And with people with this sort of stuff, you're not looking to get them into the regular ideal range, right? Because you've got to look at that. That test will give not just the essentials like the short one, the blood spot does, but it gives like, there's some other sphingo something or other. It's, I can't
Sphingomyelin.
Sphingomyelin and some of those others that are related, phospholipids, right? Yeah. Anything that's coating and lining and protecting the brain and the nerves. So those are the things to look at. And really, there may be some really weird imbalance there
That's what I'm thinking.
Correct. Right.
And I'm trying to pare everything down, make it really simple, go for any overt things. Like he has a high oxalate level, and I forget what the test was he had done a while ago, but she just reported that verbally to me. So I brought him down to medium oxalates. Let's just keep that going on. And then I went through all the test questions for oxalates, which he shows, but even worse, he shows salicylate sensitivity. So I said, let's start working on really paring that down as your primary.
That makes total sense, right? Because that's what, I mean, even Feingold, where a lot of the salicylate attention started, was on attention deficit.
Exactly.
Right.
And he has nickel allergies, where if he wears a nickel belt, he'll get a rash, and he has these rosy cheeks too. The other weird thing that the mom keeps trying to attribute to thyroid, and it could be like thyroid resistance, but his numbers are, I have his numbers I want to show you. And it was really interesting. I know I came on the call a little bit late, but I was catching on the thyroid. I'm like, wait, hold it. I'm getting my papers out to see if you compare what you said. That's not my forte yet. But I mean, I know normal labs, but not the functional version.
Well, I would definitely go to that. Your shortcut, go on to the Empowered site, go to the Thyroid Revive and Thrive, go to unit 5 or part 5 or whatever. Right. And I even think it's step 5 on there, just to make it a shortcut to download that little review book. It's not going to give you all the detail, but everything's in summary review format.
Well, here's the thing that's interesting is he just went to go see a specialist in biofeedback, and he also has a HeartMath provider, so I don't have to do that. Cool. They want me specifically for the nutrition and, you know, functional component. And I've known them for years. I know their family really well.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. It helps.
As patients, actually.
Right. Oh.
So what I'm really interested in is his hands and his feet are icy cold a lot, and he has symptoms of low thyroid. But biofeedback person was thinking it's almost like Raynaud's, like he has some sort of dysautonomia. Thank you. Dysautonomia. And he runs slow. It's like he's running in the parasympathetic realm, and his heart rate goes down to 44 when he's sleeping. He's really slow. And I don't know how much of that could be meds, but it seems like his parasympathetic is what's running him, and then he'll have these opposite hyperactive modes, and then he drops back down and he just can't control. He's like he's swinging from one extreme to the other.
Yeah, so that kind of thing, you know, certainly I would look at his adrenal numbers, his cortisols, and look at them at the different times a day, whether it be saliva or whether it be a Dutch test in the urine, and look at that, because that's going to affect thyroid receptors. That's going to affect thyroid T4 to T3 conversion, but also that affects the blood pressure. You know that people with adrenal burnout, they have very low blood pressure.
Right.
And there are herbs that can be bringing it up. You just have to watch that. And does he have low blood pressure?
Yeah, that I'd have to have them get a test for, because I could go do it myself, but yeah.
Or get them to get it.
He has an Aura ring. But
that doesn't tell blood pressure. It just tells the heartbeat. But that's easy. You go to Walgreens and you buy a blood pressure meter for $30 and regularly, because HeartMath, we know HeartMath will bring that down. He might be in dorsal vagal tone, right? Mm-hmm. We think about the vagus being the parasympathetic, but then we also have to think about the negative part of that, the dorsal, which puts people into that, lay down and play dead, right? That I'm under a lot of stress. Therefore, instead of being like this, it's like the animals that just lay down and play dead. Yeah. That's the dorsal vagal.
And that's what I think he slips into, and then he just shuts down. It's like the gas, he says he pushes on the gas and there's nothing there.
So, something like licorice root, well monitored, but could possibly be something that's an easy, like, let's get him into that, get his blood pressure up, first of all, right? Help support the adrenals.
Mm-hmm. But also something tonifying, so that he's not like, woo, because the licorice could bring him up, but you don't want him to swing.
Exactly. Yeah. So some of the tonifying adrenals, just like look at, and if you go into the adrenal module on Empowered, there's a summary booklet there as well, which talks about phase one, phase two, phase three, and then it has the herbs listed. And then, you know, not like you're going to get in an herbal medicine, you know, kind of materia medica, but the short little version to get you go, okay, this one might be a good one for him. Let me research it to make sure. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And you have to be careful with herbs and meds and interactions.
Right.
Right. And there's a great book. Let me see if I have it here. I may have it on my other shelf, but it's a book on, give me a second. I'm going to look for it because it's a really nice interactions book.
Oh, there she goes, guys. We lost her.
She's going into the back room.
Hold on to her ankle.
Okay, let's see. It's a big, fat, thick book. I usually have all the herb books together.
She's like the wizard that went into her library.
How old did you say he was, Shelley? How old is the patient?
He's 25.
Oh, okay.
And the other interesting thing is his heart rate variability runs low.
Oh, like what? Like below 20? Below 20?
They didn't say, but yeah. I think it's below 20.
Okay, I can't. Let's see.
Do any of the mushrooms help them, like cordyceps?
Cordyceps is a good, it's a good support for liver, I mean, lung and kidney, as well as adaptogenic, helps with endurance. So that's a good possibility. This is the book I was talking about. It's Herb, Nutrient, and Drug Interactions.
Hold it up.
Can you see it?
That's exactly what I need.
And so you want to make sure that you're not recommending something that's going to mess with his meds.
And who makes it? Who is it by?
It's by three different things. Forward by Tirona Lodog, who's an MD herbalist. There you go. I got it on Amazon, I think.
Michael, let me just take a picture. It's easier than
writing. Take a picture.
It's really blurry. Can you back up just a hair? Oh, that's too far. Sorry.
And it's got the reflection, so it's hard.
You're blurry.
Let me take a picture of it and I'll see if I can.
I'm definitely going to order that, though.
Right. It's right there. It's right on Amazon. Oh, that's got that. But that you can see it. It has this thing in the back, which I haven't used yet. But they have a companion CD in the back of the book. I mean, like you need it for a 932-page book. Also needs a companion CD for additional information. A little overwhelming, but you know, you use it as a reference guide. I have to put it.
No, you should talk because you've got a little bit of information on your site.
I have a little information. Sometimes I look at that and I'm like, did I ever sleep over the last 10 years?
I wonder about you every time I'm in there.
I'm so impressed that she knows where everything is.
I know, but
I'm going to post.
Number five under this and that.
That's because the stuff I looked up a lot.
Right.
It's proof that you want to bring your glucose down. That's for sure.
We love and appreciate.
Get it below 90.
The glucose below 90 for sure. I mean, I'm in the point where whenever I test my thing, if it hits 100, I'm like, okay, what did I do wrong? Like, am I stressed? That meal shouldn't have raised it. I like to keep it below 100. You know, and I mean postprandial. My morning glucose, if it's I like to keep it below 80, like 70 something. Okay, so I'm gonna go like this. I'm gonna go to the NEPT group. Actually, there's more of you here. I'll just go to the INE group. Are you all in the INE group?
I don't know if I am. I know
I'll post it in both places. And I know Darcy and Kate are not in the NEPT group. They're in the INE group. So let's see. I'm going to go like this.
I can put it in the chat because my picture came out good.
I don't think it will let you put a PDF.
I know, but I put the name of the book.
Oh, you put the name of it. Okay, good.
I'll do that.
Yeah. Okay, photo. Yeah. I just posted it in the NEPT group. And then I will also post it in the INE group. Okay, I have so many groups I'm in and run. Here we go.
Oh, and Kate, I'm gonna text you something here.
Okay, book. Okay, go here, photo. Okay, I posted it in both places. Yeah, there was a whole list of authors, but you probably, you know, Google, Amazon is such an easy search. They find it even if you spell it wrong, or if you missed some of the part of it, they'll right. find it for you.
Okay. There's probably only one low dog.
I just feel yeah. like it's so, you know, all my habits are to go with people that are in too much stress, which he is. But imagine all those symptoms that he's been having, he's exhausted. And I think even maybe a year or two ago, he started trying out drugs and stuff. So he stopped that. Didn't like
you mean
it.
Like street drugs.
But
like,
I think that he just has been really going from extremes all the time. And he's really scared. And then he got his act together and wanted to be a life coach. And now he doesn't feel like he can even do that because he's having all these symptoms.
How I would look to at his, if he can get him to do a genetics, you know.
I did.
Okay. So look at some of the dopamine.
He's definitely got dopamine issues. Just when I talk about what symptoms of low serotonin and low dopamine.
Another book reference for all of you, which is one of my favorites. I got it for $3 on Amazon. The Edge Effect, Eric Brockman. Book,
yeah.
And if you look it up, even if you look up on the website, you just look up, Google it. There's digital copy of the questionnaires he has, and you basically can figure out what type people are by nature. Are they more of a GABA type? Like when they get out of balance, what do they tend towards? And it's a really good book because I used it with my son when he was in middle school, and he would be like, why do I have so much anxiety, Mom? I'm always scared that I'm going to die. I'm scared. I read this thing on the internet that when you get hit in the head in the temporal area, that you could just die in your sleep and not even know that you had it. And somebody bumped their elbow into me, and he used to freak out like that all the time. So we did his questionnaire, and it was definitely a GABA thing. And I looked at homeopathics, and we kind of addressed it, right? I did the essential oils in the bedroom at bedtime, and I looked at, you know, some supplementation and some homeopathic. I found a homeopathic that described him exactly, and he's fine now. I mean, he still has that tendency. He's a GABA type, right? I'm a GABA type too, which means that, you know, we have all these GAD SNPs that make us predisposed to having, you know, high glutamate, right? Blah, 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 you know, and we got to calm it all down. And when we can calm all that down, it makes a huge difference. So knowing some of that stuff and knowing stuff about yourself, right? Oh, I have a tendency too. And my other son's a dopamine. He's clearly dopamine. My kids like to research where'd they get that from. So they'd go on the internet, and my son, when he was in high school, he said, Mom, I swear I must have Parkinson's. I'm like, honey, you're 15. Like, what do you mean you have Parkinson's? He said, well, I have these symptoms. I said, yeah, those are symptoms of low dopamine. And I definitely think you have low dopamine. So here's some of the stuff we can do to support you there. And he was very good about it. He's the same one that went, I think I have diabetes. He writes to me, he's in college. I think I have diabetes, Mom. I have excess thirst, excess hunger. And what was the other one? I'm peeing a lot. So I said, okay, let's chat about this. And we chat about it. It turns out he's doing rugby for a couple of hours a day. He's doing CrossFit, and he's running. And he's drinking like crazy, water, 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 because he's sweating. And he's hungry like crazy, right? Like, honey, I think it's just you're exercising a lot. And he went, oh, so he came home for the holidays, and I tested his blood sugar like right after he ate a meal because he didn't catch him. And he was 90 after eating like, you know, a sandwich or whatever he had. And I'm like, you don't have a problem with diabetes. Definitely don't have diabetes. I think he has hyperinsulinemia, and he's had it since he was a little kid, but I think he's got that under control. So it's just like when you hear these things, it's like the more you know, the more you can make these connections, right? Between the things that when you hear somebody say something, right? You ever notice when you're on a call, somebody starts to say these things, I'm racking up in my brain. I'm doing this little checklist of it could be this, it could be this, it could be this. And that's what this is all about, right? Being in this educational space where you're feeding your brain with not just facts like you learned in nursing school or medical school or whatever, but connections, right? Connections are what's so important.
Right. And that's the whole thing I was trying to say is I'm so used to a patient being sympathetic dominant that when you get someone that has either parasympathetic dominance or dysautonomia, or however you say that, I really screw that up every time.
Dysautonomia is how I say it. I don't know if that's
autonomia. I just have to remember the second part better. Dysautonomia.
Autonomic. So autonomia. Mm-hmm. That's how I say it.
I think I used to
say the autonomic nervous system.
For some reason, my brain's rearranged it. But anyhow, that it's like you have a different set of patterns for each of those. You know, mm-hmm. In nursing school, I used to have an instructor that would make conceptual maps. Mm. And I did like something like this, like what would be a conceptual map for tie-ins for sympathetic dominance versus parasympathetic dominance versus dysautonomia. I did it.
Well, I've told you that before. I love charts because when you see things on charts, first of all, they're good for reference because I can't keep it all straight in my mind, but you basically start to see the relationships between things, not just memorizing discrete facts. And that's how you become a good practitioner, was when you see the relationships.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you. Well, guys, it's been fun. Oh, thank you, Jill. You're amazing. Cool. All right.
Thank you, everybody.
You're very welcome. Oh, you got to your destination. Good. I always worry when you see people in the car and you're like, don't crash because you're talking to us. All right, guys, have a good one. Have a good rest of the week. We're almost at spring here in Texas. It's actually spring weather. It was 84 degrees yesterday. It's going to be 81 today. So I'm excited about that. And spring happens in over the weekend, like Monday, right? Monday, Sunday. Yeah.
Thanks, everybody. Hey, and Shelly and everybody, I just loved hearing about your clients. I hope that we get some updates. You know, Shelly especially would love to hear what you discover with him, along with Martha, and some of the things you guys have brought up.
We learn a lot from each other's cases, right?
Yeah.
And it just helps you to have more and more ability to think through, and it's really a thinking process, right?
Yeah, and Darcy too. You know, it'd be great to see how that resolves itself.
Yeah. So. There we go. All right, guys, have a great one, and we'll talk to you
soon. Bye, everybody.
Bye.